Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning the week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. I'm here today again with a guest we had once before, Billy Kangas, who's a good friend. He lives here in the Ann Arbor area. He's the current director of community engagement for an amazing ministry called Hope Clinic, which he's going to tell us a little bit about. He's a scholar, theologian, husband, father of three, and maybe one of the most important things, the founder of a not-for-profit Cultivate Coffee and Tap House, which Billy shared with us last time he was with us, and I'm going to ask him to share how that whole thing has gone. But we'd like to talk this week about mission, because he has very, I think, really important insight into how to concretely express mission as a disciple and follower of Jesus. And so I've been looking forward to this. We're going to have some fun. So welcome back, Billy.
Thrilled to be here. Great to see you, Peter.
Yeah. Well, bring us up to date. I know you've been, last time you were on, you were working on your doctorate. You're a theologian. Tell us a little bit how that's going and tell our listeners what you're studying.
Oh, sure. So working on a PhD in liturgy and sacramental theology from the Catholic University of America. And I have now made it through most of the bureaucratic hurdles. And now it's just on my back. I've got to finish writing this dissertation. And it's thankfully a subject that's very dear to my heart, which is looking at the charismatic renewal, which was and continues to be a big movement within the Catholic Church and around the world, and looking at the community here in Ann Arbor. So I'm doing some research trying to figure out how did this movement encounter God? How did they respond in worship and ritual and and liturgy and in life? And I'm hoping that this will shed some light on sort of the great things that God has done and continues to do through this movement.
Yeah, very good. I look forward to reading your dissertation. Tell us a little bit about the Cultivating Coffee and Tap House. Help people remember kind of what it is and then why it came to be, what it is, and kind of where you see it now.
Okay, sure. So about 3 years ago, moved back to Michigan from Washington, D.C., where I was working on my coursework for the dissertation. And a couple friends of mine, Rebecca and Ryan, had approached me saying, let's start a coffee and tap house, which is oriented around doing good. And so the idea is, let's get two of the best beverages in the world. Let's get coffee and let's get beer. And these are my opinions, of course, but and let's do them great. Let's make the best coffee and serve the best beer and gather people around and help build community. So we built out this whole space out of an old auto shop in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and filled it with long tables and invited community groups to come in. And it was a huge success. And then we said, let's take all the money we make and put it towards helping others. And for me, this is a huge part of my heart. How do we see the faces, move our hearts towards the most vulnerable? And so the mission was, let's look at hunger. Hunger in our community, and let's figure out what we need to do to stop it, and let's help use our resources to do that. So over the past year, we've been exploring how to end hunger and then engaging in bringing in organizations, having events to help educate, having field trips and service teams, and just going out there and trying to make a dent in poverty, a dent in hunger, a dent in the cycles that keep people vulnerable, that keep people hungry. And so it was a huge, wonderful, awesome undertaking. And at this point, it's been so successful that I've actually been able to step away from the day-to-day operations and move into some more dedicated care for poor and vulnerable people in our community by working with Hope Clinic, as you mentioned.
Cultivate Coffee at Tap House. Is that, you got a website? Like, if people want to just know what you're doing and find out?
Yeah, if you go to cultivateipsy.org, you can check it out.
Ipsy would be, for those who may not know,
Yes, YPSI.
YPSI, okay.
Despite all logic. If you switch the I and the Y in Ypsilanti, it's basically how it's spelled.
Well, tell us a little bit more, too, Billy, about your story. Like, why do you care so much about all this? And why did you run a not-for-profit you know, coffee and tap house instead of a for-profit one for you? Like, what's driving you, and how did you get here with all that?
That's a great question. I think part of it is that I encountered this person, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And as I've tried to walk deeper in love for God, he's given me a deeper love for others. I prayed, God, give me your heart. And it turns out his heart is for poor and vulnerable people. And so to be the person that God's called me to be, the person that Jesus would be if Jesus was me, mm-hmm. I've discovered that means I have to live for others. I can't do something that's just oriented towards myself. It's just a conviction, I guess, I have that mm-hmm. everything I've done, I've said, okay, so this is a gift. How do I share this? How do I use this gift to show God's love in real and tangible ways to my neighbors? At least that's the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, and so now you've moved into the director position at Hope Clinic. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Hope Clinic and what drew you to it? What's it all about?
Well, Hope Clinic, like you said, is an incredible ministry here in Southeast Michigan. They operate a free medical clinic, a free dental clinic, a free food pantry, a free meals program, a free washer and dryer service, a free social work and mental health screening, and basically are out there as this outpost in Ypsilanti of God's love. And the thing I love about them is not only are they doing some of the best quality work for poor and vulnerable people in our community and the most good stuff, but also they are super rooted in their faith. And for me, that was just a huge draw. As I've worked with them more closely in my nonprofit world, mm-hmm. they were always my biggest allies. They were always the ones that I was cheerleading for. They have this mentality of first fruits there, where we're going to give our best first to others. Mm. A lot of times, people who are in poverty in our community are given the worst. They're given
the leftovers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I hope if you go there, their dental clinic, their medical clinic, their pantries, you're going to see the best. You're going to see the stuff that you want to have. We've had clients who have come through, and after they've gotten into a better financial situation and can go to a regular dental clinic and, you know, pay for it, they said, you know, I miss going to Hope because the quality of care was so much better. And I love that. And so for me, being able to say, you know, I want to give first fruits to God through serving others, and I want to be able to orient that towards my faith and my life. We get together every morning to pray before we do anything else, and that is a huge thing for me as well. So very excited to be engaged in this work from a standpoint of faith.
Yeah, it's over the years I've had little contact with it periodically, right, in the ministry, and watched it grow. And it started with Dr. Dan Heffernan, mm-hmm. right, member of our parish who was approaching retirement. He wasn't there yet, and he had thoughts of what he wanted to do, and I remember him saying to me that he was on a men's retreat or something with the parish, and he was trying to just, Lord, I want to offer my life to you. What do you want me to do? And he said something, he felt like the Lord said something along the lines of, don't be a fat cat. You know, right? I don't want you to be a fat cat. I don't want you to learn cruise control. I got a lot more I want you to do. And he always had a heart for the poor, and he had done something, I think, in the Flint or Saginaw area or something years earlier, if I remember.
He started a medical clinic for migrant workers.
Okay.
And that had been a big part of his practice before he had moved to Michigan, or not, to Southeast Michigan, down here in Ann Arbor area.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that certainly put a huge role in his orientation towards saying, you know, the Lord has given me this ability to be a physician, and he's given me a great practice, but that's a gift that's meant to be shared. Mm-hmm. And health is a gift from God, and if we can help give that gift to others,
yeah,
we can become ministers of his grace.
Yeah, it was a beautiful. I just was so inspired by him because I think the course of how the culture goes, well, you know, I've built a career, I've worked hard, I've raised a family, and now it's time to, I mean, I'll give, I'll help out here and there, but basically it's time for me now to carve out my space, for me to just kind of be comfortable and do a lot of the fun things I wanted to do maybe for the rest of my life, which some of that's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. And, but he was, for me, such an example of a disciple who was on mission. And what does that look like when you hit your 60s and you've been through all the rest of that? He was willing to risk, to take the step for the great adventure, to say, I don't know where this is actually going to go. And he just ended up, what did he begin with? At the elementary school, an elementary school in Ypsilanti, and mm-hmm. he'd open a door and have a few doctors come and let people come off the street. And now you see this thing, it's huge. Like, how many people does Hope Clinic serve in a year? Is that...
Oh, man, I wish I had my statistics.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands of people. Between all the services, yeah. They are a beacon of light to the whole community. Not only in Ypsilanti, but in Southeast Michigan. They're drawing people from... We now have a second clinic in Wayne, which is drawing people there as well. And it's just amazing.
Yeah. I'm so glad you landed there. We just have a couple of minutes on this program. We're going to talk, friends, this week with Billy about how to engage mission as an ordinary person, every single person, how they can engage it. So I want you to be able to stay tuned this week. But Billy and I were talking a little bit about Solanus Casey, who, Blessed Solanus Casey, who was just named blessed this past year. And I loved the whole ceremony. And then I brought up with Billy, and it turns out he has a great devotion hymn. So we just have a minute or two. Would you kind of tie it up, the program today, just talking a little bit about him and why you love him so much and how he informs what you're doing today?
Well, Solanus Casey is somebody who I think about every day, and I have for a while. I got a picture of him above my my kitchen table. And just this morning, my son and I, as we're getting ready to get out the door, you know, we say a prayer, Solanus Casey, pray for us. And the reason for that is, he's a guy that took what the Lord had given him, and he ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
He ran with faithfulness. He had trouble with his theological studies because of language acquisition, which I understand. I've had to study 5 languages over the course of my theological studies, and I hate it. Honestly, I hate it. So I find a resonance there with him as well. But because of that, he wasn't allowed to give sermons, and they put him on the door, right? On the door of the monastery, just to greet people who came. And what he did is, instead of looking for a way to do that easily, when someone came with a need, he tried to solve it. And so people came who were hungry, and he said, all right, let's find a way, and started looking for food and giving them his food. And it started to grow into this giant service of feeding the poor, which exists to this day in Detroit. And so as somebody, I wake up and I ask the question, like, Lord, who can I feed today? And Solanus is that guy who I look to as that example of, no matter what it is the Lord's given me, no matter where I am, if I'm just a simple porter, I can use that position to leverage God's grace and God's kingdom in the life of someone else. Every time someone knocks on the door, that's an opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity to share God's love.
Amen. Well, that's really, really great. Right on. And I was deeply touched by him, too, and the whole ceremony to see how it was a great Catholic moment, a culture-building moment for everybody, for the church to be able to say, what is it in our heart? What's really in our heart? Even though we're so imperfect, we want to be like that doorkeeper. That's who we want to be. We want to be able to love like he loved, to know Jesus like he did, and maximize the gift that's been given to us. So, friends, that's the kind of call that the Lord has in your life as well. I hope you can join us tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.